This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
I'm Arietta, and I'm from Fiji. I work for Rainbow Women's Network, Fiji. I'm the Women's Project Officer. And what we do is we work with gay women, bisexual, lesbians, and also sex workers, because we have some of our members who are gay, but are also self-employed through sex work. And there are other women as well who like our space, who are not gay, no sex workers, but for them, they say that they are marginalized, but really at grassroots level. And because I think we've created a safe space, this is our third year, they're also part of our group. So we welcome them into our group, and they're gay friendly, and so yeah, they're part of our group.
I actually do part-time work with Rainbow Women's Network Fiji. I have a full-time job. I must admit I am well educated, and I'm here at the Art Games to try and meet other women like me, well-educated women, because in Fiji we do have gay women that do have good jobs, but we feel that they prefer to be invisible. I think it's time now that we gay women actually start being concerned about women gay rights, which is really non-existent in Fiji now. So what I want to do is go out into the workplace and try and form a support group and stand up for our women gay rights.
When you say they prefer to be invisible, why is that?
For fear of losing their job. Fiji is very small. We're very close-knit. Some of us, even me, I'm not out yet, and some of us prefer to be like that, you know? Fiji is such a small place, and to be out and gay is very, you know, it's quite scary, because there's a lot of discrimination, there's a lot of biasness, and for us women, well, we prefer to be, you know, safely tucked away in the closet, but we feel that now it's time for some of us to come out and, you know, be recognized as gay women.
Has that homophobia or that level of scariness, has that increased, or has it always been there?
It's always been there. For us in Fiji, we predominantly a Christian state. Colonialism brought in Christianity, and it's still instilled in our families, you know. And from my personal point of view, quite a few of the gay women that I have met, where their family have found out that they're gay, they've been disowned by their family. So I think what we need to do is create an awareness amongst our community as well as their families that it's really okay to be gay. We've had public demonstrations from one of the main religious groups, and that doesn't help either. So yeah. Surprisingly, even though we've gone through a few military coups, our current military government is quite supportive of gay rights. Last year, they decriminalized homosexuality, so that's a start. Yeah. So I think now, if a few of us start standing up for gay rights, I think the momentum and the, you know, it'll start growing, and our gay community will start coming out, and yeah.
Was that a big fight to get decriminalization?
No, I don't think so. It was already in the 1997 constitution, but I think in terms of human rights, I think they're beginning to be more aware, and because I think we have gay men who are at that level, that also has influence, had some influence on it being decriminalized, and also from past lobbying and advocacy by other gay people, you know, in Fiji at that time when it started, the discussion started in 1997. Yeah, and also I think one of the concerns for me too personally, I've been coming to a few gay meetings in New Zealand, one of which was is the Love Life Whānau, which is usually specifically for HIV and AIDS and targeting MSM. And I remember when I came in 2009, one of the things I realized that there is also, not only in Fiji, the invisibility of lesbian women, but also in the Pacific, specifically in the South Pacific. And one of the things I'd like to see that maybe in the next, age in the Pacific, that there would be other women from other Pacific Islanders here, instead of just women from Fiji, because there's usually only women from Fiji, or otherwise women from the Pacific who are living overseas, like in New Zealand and Australia. But it would be nice to get someone from the island, maybe they have, because I'm sure they have issues as well that they'd like to voice. But I suppose it's the, those cornerstones of the Pacific, which is culture, religion, and all those, that's the drawback for them to, step up in. But this is a start.
Can you tell me a wee bit about the Rainbow Women's Network?
Rainbow Women's Network is actually fairly new. We started in 2009, and the idea came about when we had our first workshop for marginalized women, women sex workers, and gay women at grassroots level. And the women themselves found out, well, they really wanted just specifically a women's network, for support and stuff like that. So that's how it came about. We're in the middle of registering, and our management board consists of our community, sex workers and gay women at grassroots level. They make all the decisions. We find the money. We do workshops. We facilitate workshops. We bring in women, other women like our Fiji Women's Rights Movement, to give a talk and tell them, what really their basic rights are. We participate in events. Last week, International Women's Day, we marched for Reclaim the Night. But this year, we not only want to do workshop, we also want to do activities for income-generating activities, because most of our members really are unemployed. So we want to concentrate on that this year. And we're proud to say we're the first lesbian women's network. Our success story is our support, fortnightly support groups we have. We just sit around, have a bowl of yangon, and we talk about issues, and that's where all the stories of women. And as our members come to the meeting, they also bring in some of their friends as well. So our membership is actually growing as well too.
So, yeah. What size membership do you currently have?
At the moment now, we have, like I said, we're quite small. We have 50 and non-registered members. We have quite a lot. We also want to move on to women at university, the youth. We want to target the youth as well too. So, yeah, it's growing. Mm.
I know that the session is about to start, but just one last question. If somebody was listening to this tape in 30 years' time, what would you like to say to them?
Well, I hope, I don't want to say if someone was listening to this tape, I'm hoping that when we're long gone, that there'll be about 10,000 lesbians all hidden in the closet in Fiji and saying, wow. So, I mean, I must admit that I'm here. I actually had to lie to my boss. I mean, I couldn't tell I'm coming to the art game. She wouldn't have given me leave. So, yeah, that's how it is now. So in the next 10 years, I hope all you lesbians out there in Fiji and the Pacific, stand up for your rights.
Yeah, I would feel the same way as well. Maybe in the next 30 years or once we leave this planet, that there'll be more voices, women, lesbian, invisible voices coming to meetings like this and sharing your stories, because I think it's important for people to know, and it's also building networks.